But I could not do it anymore, especially after spiritual awakening. I'm like, I cannot do it anymore because I have such a big purpose in this life. And I need someone who can hold me strong. I can't have a wounded masculine walking with me and pulling me down at every step. And I could not understand Furkan. I launched so many businesses, even with my ex. I launched a couple of businesses and they will never flourish after some time. Because his motivation was money and my motivation was always giving. So I could also see that misalignment.
Yes. Yeah.
So there was all these different pieces. Of course, divorce is never easy. It's very hard for both the both side. There are many different stories said. But I think during that whole process of divorce too, I had to stay in my power, which I will normally lose in front of them. Yeah. Because I'm a giver and I will like just, okay, take what you want to take, right? But somehow the spiritual awakening strengthened me from inside.
Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of the Easy Conversations podcast, a podcast about having easy conversations. I'm your host, Furkan Dandia. This week's episode, I sit down with entrepreneur, podcast host, and founder of Synergy, Priyanka Khandelwal, to explore her remarkable journey from the engineering world to a life centered on purpose, healing, and personal transformation. Priyanka shares how growing up feeling different led her into engineering, her experiences navigating male-dominated industries, and the lessons she learned about being unexpectedly fired. Despite being a high performer, what initially felt like rejection ultimately became redirection, opening doors to entrepreneurship, personal growth, and a deeper understanding of herself. Our conversation explores burnout, people-pleasing, spiritual awakening, trauma healing, divorce, leadership, self-worth, boundaries, and the search for authentic alignment, which is something I'm sure a lot of people can relate to. Priyanka reflects on how confronting childhood wounds, letting go of external validation, and reconnecting with her inner values transformed both her personal life and her professional mission. Priyanka Khandelwal is a business scaling coach, entrepreneur, podcast host, and founder of Synergy LLC. After 16 years in corporate engineering leadership, she transitioned into entrepreneurship and now helps heart-centered business owners scale with strategy, systems, and purpose. Please check out all the ways you can find Priyanka online, including her podcast. And before we jump into the episode, a quick reminder that content on this podcast is for educational and informational purposes only and should not be considered therapy, counseling, or clinical advice. Listening to this podcast does not establish a therapeutic relationship, but if you do seek support, please reach out to a licensed professional. Now let's just jump into the episode. Priyanka, welcome to the Easy Conversations podcast. Thank you for joining me today. I'm looking forward to our conversation. There's definitely a lot of similarities, and I've also had the opportunity to come on your show and talk. So I think we'll just kind of pick up where we left off, but more so focusing on your story. But before we get started, please share with us a little bit more about yourself, who you are, what's brought you here, and where you are in the current chapter of your life.
Thanks, Furkan, for having me here. And same as you, I'm an engineer background.
Yeah.
And so I have worked in quality engineering in all the manufacturing companies, like Fortune 500 companies, like Volkswagen, John Deere, wearing hard hat, Metatarsus shoes, getting hand greasy. So my background comes from there. I came to US to do my master's from India back in 2008. And then for 15 to, I think, 16 years, I was in corporate world. But during that time, of course, like, it was amazing, beautiful, great experience. And I'm a, what do you call, learner and a lifetime learner. And it was great. But there I was burned out. I was feeling misalignment. things were not like just aligning. Because as growing up, I have been always trying to find that, where do I belong? What makes my soul happy? And I always feeling like outlier. I could never really mix in with the crowd. I was always the social bird, but still, like, I was very aloof. I was in my own world. I saw things differently. But I thought maybe that's not the right thing, right? Maybe I am, there's some flaw in me, But during my engineering, I was like, okay, things, I need to do something different here. And there came a point I got fired from a role where I gave all my, everything of mine. And I was like the best employee you could have. I will always make sure I'm always exceeding the meet, the performance level and all that stuff, right? But then I was like, okay, I got fired. And that was my trigger point, or that was my shift in my way of thinking of, okay, I can't put everything in my, in one basket. And that's when I started exploring entrepreneurship, and I started selling baby products on Amazon, and then rustic furniture on Amazon, and doing all those kind of things. Then I also went into creating an app to increase the retention of students in the engineering university, working with different deans of the university. This is my early 20s, right? So I did all of that. And during that same time, I was in, I started going to Tony Robbins event. I became their student. And I was such a good student. In 1 year, I joined their coaching, helping their student to start scaling their business or growing their expert business without even being a certified coach. So I did all of that. And during that same time, I think in 2019, I attended Tony Robbins' event, Unleash the Power Within. And something happened with me, some fire lit up. You're supposed to walk on the fire there. And that's lit up something in me. And in 28 days, I launched my podcast in 2020. And it became a top 1%. Like, I, of course, that was not the intention, but that's what happened. And yeah, and then there came COVID. And then COVID was the place where I was asked to go to Toyota plant for some quality issue to resolve during the whole COVID season, where everyone was wearing masks. I had a 2-year-old daughter at home. And I felt, okay, this is like life and death situation. I don't want to be in that space. And that was the same year I had written a vision that I'm going to leave my corporate job in September. So it happened. One day I woke up, I'm like, I can't stay in this same world. And I left the corporate world. And during that same time, someone had noticed that I'm really good with project management, one of my coaches. And I had got a certification of director of operations. So I left my job in 30 days. I got my first director of operation, like a fractional role for a small business. And she's still my client. She was my client back in 2020. Now the capacity is different because now she works differently with me. But that time she was my first client. And from there, I worked with more than 1,200 businesses to help them scale and grow in different ways. And but during all of this too, Furkan, I felt like I was still so much misalignment. And I went through my own spiritual awakening journey like 2-3 years back, where everything fell apart in my life. I saw the false mask. I saw that I was living my life from the validation from others. I went into finding my self-worth, self-confidence, really, what do you call, getting my power back in my womb energy, like really sacral energy. It has been, what do you call, I had blocked it totally, right? All of my chakra had to balance it. I got went through my whole healing journey. And that led to starting my own agency. It's called Synergy. It's not just business. It's a system with soul. That's how I support businesses now. It's a totally holistic business support where it's scaling your business with strategy and soul and system. And yeah, the story is a little bit longer there, Furkan.
That's okay.
But right now I'm sitting in my healing center in Cannon Beach. I opened it with my mentor here. And it's supposed to be my new path of helping others to find their life purpose and really aligning. I'm going into more into plant medicine here. So that is going to be my, bringing my ancient roots, my ancient wisdom from previous lifetime to this lifetime. There's a lot of pieces in there, but I feel like all my experiences help me to align to whom I'm supposed to be in this world.
Yeah, well, I appreciate all of that, and we'll definitely dive into a lot of the things. I've been taking notes as you were sharing, and a lot of things, I mean, we talked about my story last time, so I'm sure you already know that there's a lot of similarities there, especially starting with the engineering piece. Now, I know for myself, when I bring that focus back, I was 18, 19 when I chose to become an engineer. I didn't know a whole lot. A lot of it was pressure from family, but at the same time, just understanding socially, I had to pursue something that would allow me to have a productive career. And I kind of landed on engineering. Now, for you, I mean, it's one of those things, being in school with fellow students, it was generally a discipline that not a lot of females pursued. So how did you land in that space? How did you navigate it, especially it being a bit of a male dominant industry and discipline as well? How was that for you? I'm curious to hear your perspective. Like, I know for me, I enjoyed it until I didn't. So
Yeah. So when you said that, something came up in my mind, because no one has normally asked that question, but since you are an engineer, you understand that perspective.
Yes.
So I love that question. I feel like when I, of course, I started because all my friends were going into engineering. Even my 11th and 12th was in electronics engineering, kind of a thing. Like, you, I chose that part in my 11th standard itself in India. But all my friends were going into that, so I went into that. But of course, like, I did bachelor's in electronics engineering in India. But when I came to US, I changed my field into more mechanical. And in mechanical, you will not see women, a lot of women engineers. Even in India, you don't see it. It's probably two or three out of so many, right?
Yeah. So, well, in my case, there were more in I did mechanical engineering too. Mechanical and chemical engineering were the ones where there were, and civil, but like electrical and civil, sorry, electrical and some of the other disciplines of engineering, less females for sure. But even within, as you can appreciate, I would say it was like a 20-80 type of ratio for sure.
Yeah, and it's same in India too, and same here too. So when I came here to US to do my master's, of course, I started with learning the culture first. Like, I still remember the first year I joined, the first professor I had, I could not even understand his accent. And I think I went into probation because I failed that subject. Because I could not even understand what he's explaining. And it was a different field. I switched from electronics engineering to industrial engineering. So I took like that big risk of changing the field. And then my first job was an internship in Volkswagen. And like, I was going for, like, I was like, okay, a Volkswagen plant was open in India. I went and joined them. I was their first intern. They have never hired intern. But I made the scale so high because I have been always this curious person. Furkan, like, when I was little kid too, I was watch out like a truck, how is it moving? And I would get so curious. So I think that curiosity has always led me like into solutions from problem, because quality engineering is all about problem solving. And of course, it might be only me. I'm the only person, but I think I have the skill of connecting with people at a deeper level, and my empathetic leadership. I embodied that from day one as an engineer. You are a leader. You don't need to have a title. I think it's a Robin Sharma's book I read, Leader Without Title, earlier in my career. And I led with that. I'm like, I don't need to have a title, but I walk like I have a title, like I'm a leader. So I have saw so many crazy, when I used to work in John Deere, have you seen those harvesting machines, the big machines, Furkan?
Yeah.
It has 70,000 parts. And every day I will have the 100 complaints, I think I have to resolve. And by afternoon, I will have all the solution for it, like short-term countermeasure. And my boss used to be like, how do you do that? Because I had created this network of friendship with people who has been there for like more than like 40, 50 years. Like they are the veterans there, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they knew the solution and I knew how to network and extract that information from them. So I have always brought my heart and soul into the work I do. And so there also I had some situation for Khan, like I will go into the assembly line and someone will call me baby doll because I'm so young. Like they think she's so young. And how can she solve, right? How can she tell us? These are like older men telling, like looking at me and saying, oh, what do you think about yourself? So I also had those situations and I have turned them around. Those same people who would have underestimated me came back after a few months and like truly appreciated me, wrote me letters and have put that on my desk. Like, okay, these are the people who are appreciating my work. So I had all those kind of challenges too. As a mother, I had challenges when I used to go to different client site or supplier site because I have to pump milk for my little one, right? So I will make sure they create a place for me to get that milk together. So I have always stood up as a leader. Like I will never let anyone tell me like you. But of course, business ethic has always been a hard time for me when I worked in. Because I used to directly work with clients and if there's a quality issue and if my boss tells me, no, we can't tell that. For me, honesty is so important. Authenticity is so important. Maybe that was the reason also I could not stand in that culture for too long. Like I was there until everything was good, but there were this business ethics where honesty and authenticity was not aligning with my values. And those were the pieces that I think triggered me. Like, this is not a place for me to stay. And also getting fired when I'm one of the best employee, I give everything of mine. Also, like, really changed my trajectory. But yeah, those were the pieces. And I want to add in here, Furkan, like, I was invited as a guest speaker at my university in Michigan in 2023, like 2-3 years back. And it was on my vision board. It was my own vision board on that same year. Like, I want to be invited. I also wrote how much I want to be paid. And of course, my my school paid me that. Of course, I would have done it for free, right? Yeah. It's an honor to be invited. But when I spoke there, I spoke to 17-year younger self of mine because I was there 17 years back. And the women there in that crowd, the women engineers, they came and said, Priyanka, I want to be like you. And that was like that really melted my heart. But the professors there, they were telling me like this, like all these women normally don't even speak. They don't even have the voice to speak. Like they will just sit there in the classroom. But because of you, they got the courage to come and talk to us for the first time. And these are some women, they are immigrants, like coming from other countries. So I feel like now my story is more inspiring to them, how I have, like my life has changed into what it is now because I have stood up when I was asked to become small.
Yeah, that's definitely going to be a reoccurring theme in our conversation today for sure. But help us understand, like you talked about being in those technical jobs around men who have been around there for a while. And here's this young engineer, female to add on top coming in. I know for me, that was intimidating at times. And there was definitely at times pushback because I was also a young engineer going in, telling these people who kind of put themselves at risk day in, day out. And sometimes giving the perception that I'm telling them how to do their job. But what served me well was having a beginner's mindset and almost looking to them for advice and then together solving a problem. And that seems to be something I've hung on to even now over all these years. But I am curious, what were the things you did that were different that got them to the point of even writing you a letter of appreciation?
If I think about it, there are a couple of things. I know our energy is contagious, right? If I bring energy, if I'm smiling, if I smile now, Furkan, what will be your response?
To smile back,
So our energy is contagious. So it's very important to know if I walk into the room, am I leaving dead bodies around or I'm really lighting up the room, right? So I think that has been my always my, the way I live my life. Mm-hmm. Even if I'm walking into the, and that time my clients were Hyundai, like Korean, like I was working mm-hmm. with Koreans, and they are, if you ask me, the top most hardworking, or like they will work 24 hours is Korean. Like they are the mm-hmm. top, and then come Japanese, and then third comes like the Asian, like, mm-hmm. but the Koreans, if a quality issue comes, they will work all overnight. They will not sleep. And that's how they want you to work, right? So I was working with clients who were super challenging. So that's why my whole team, like we were the supplier, we all had to be on alert whenever something happened because we had such a demanding clients, right? But what I knew in me is if I make sure my communication is totally open, right? If I make sure it's on time, like I always like communication is one of the things I prioritize in all my relationships and also my connection to the clients and the team and also working hard. Like working hard comes naturally for us, Furkan. Yes. So working hard and showing that my work ethic, right? I think it all showed up. The communication I did, the way I brought my contributive energy, collaborating energy, brainstorming energy, like working together as a team, like bringing that thinking and bringing that collaboration, asking them for their inputs, right? Those have been a couple of things that has been my way of working always. And those things also still works in my team right now. I have a team of 9 in my business and they all embody that. So I feel like those were the pieces that helped me during the engineering time. Yeah, like just the work ethic, just the hard work, just the communication, and also my energy, my positive, contagious energy. Like, no, because I was always around, like quality engineering is always around. We are always solving problems. So we are always dealing with very frustrated clients. But how can you be the light in those times, right? How can you make them feel safe, heard, and listened, right?
Yes.
So that's, and that, because of that, like normally any male counterpart goes to the client's side, like they will be harsh with them, but when I go, they will be super soft with me because it's just the communication. I bought that softness. Like I, of course, engineering is a very masculine role.
Yes.
But I feel like I always balance that masculine role with my feminine softness and empathy.
Okay. Oh, that's great. So, and obviously that's served you well. So you also talked about a time where you were fired, right? And how that was a bit of a wake-up call, perhaps even changed your perspective. And in hindsight, it's probably easy to say because I've had other similar experiences where rejection, and in the moment it can be heartbreaking and you may even resist it rather than accepting it. But in hindsight, I've been able to look back and I'm like, that was almost a gift from the universe that, hey, this path isn't for you. And the more you've been trying to go at it, it's going to be a harsher rejection. So you finally wake up. And I wouldn't get it until was like almost like slapping me in the face. And then it was like, oh, okay, maybe there is something here and I need to perhaps open myself up to more answers or more ways of looking at it differently. What are your thoughts about that, like being fired at that time and where it led you?
I can answer that in both ways. One is me getting fired, another is I firing someone, right? Because I just fired someone in my team 2 weeks back and it was a very hard decision for me. But coming from that place where I got rejected, I feel like your rejection is always a redirection, as you just said, Furkan. For you also, it was something like trying to find what is the lesson or where I need to go. So I always found the reject as redirection. Of course, when I left that role, I truly had to sit with it. Of course, there were a couple of days I was upset, I was sad, because you never know the real reason why you got fired, right? And so, but then I had to stood up. I'm like, no one is coming to save me. I have to save myself. And this is me talking like how many years back? That is like 2013 or something. Long time back.
Yeah.
So I was still very young that time. Now I will be 40 this year. I'm just thinking about at that time, of course, I felt sad and it's okay. It's normal. We are human. We are not superheroes, just like Rise. So it's okay to feel that emotion and being transparent with you, what you feel. And that's what I did. I felt every part of it. And then I'm like, okay, what is the redirection here? Maybe now I call it redirection. That time, probably I did not even knew the word redirection.
Yeah.
Right? Probably I was just like, okay, I can't sit in this unhappy stage for too long. I have to do something about it. And my clock was ticking because I was on that, if you understand F1, OPT, all this visa situation, I was in that situation. You have to get a job within a time frame or you are out of status kind of a thing. So there was all this different pressure too. So yeah, so I remember of just like getting my life back. I picked up a book called Miracle Morning that time from L.L. Drod. And that book changed my life because it talks about the morning rituals. And I started doing that every day. I started, like, it talks about reading a book, doing an exercise, doing some breathing and meditation, doing some journaling. So I started doing that daily. And then things started shifting for me. So, and then from there, I feel like from there, I started connecting to people, networking, and then I found my role. And during that same time, I had to start my second master's degree because I had to live in US with my status. So I put all my savings, whatever was that, again, in my education. That is what we do to survive and thrive. And that is okay because there are two types of debt. There's one which is good and one which is bad, right?
Yes.
So I was like, okay, this is the redirection. So I put them, I started my college and I had such a good connection with my professor. They made it work in one day. I got admitted in one day. I spoke to them and same day I was in the school again. And I started and the second day I got an internship with the company and who they hired me full time kind of a thing. So yeah, it was, I think every experience of mine, and I have been fired many times, Furkan, not only that time. I was fired like last December too from a place where I was coaching. So it's like I get fired so many times and I always say something called not yet. Right? Not yet means there's something amazing coming up. So that has been my, that has been my journey. But since I went through those rejections, and some people will call it failure, I don't call it as failure, but when I went through those rejection, it also made me aware of when I fire any of my team member, what they must be feeling, what they must be going through, right? They must be feeling at those moments. So when I had to let go of one of my amazing team member, he's a young 19-year-old kid. And normally everyone in my team is veteran. They're in their 40s. Like they have been in this industry for too long. They understand the soul essence. They are very spiritual. So his work was beautiful, amazing. So I had to make sure he understand that the firing did not happen because of his work. I told him, your work was spotless. It was so beautiful. But there was some misalignment in values. And my team did not tell me for a year. Furkan, they were trying to make it work for a year. They did not tell me the misalignment with communication that was happening because of him. The communication was, and for me, everything is teamwork. Communication has to be on the top.
Yes.
And what when I let him go, I had to make sure he feels my, because I'm a mama bear for my team. So he said, I feel your love, Pri, and I'm going to be, and his response just melted me. And he said, Pri, I truly appreciate your message and I am going to truly take that message. I told him not yet and make sure you're still learning and growing with whatever next is coming for you, right? So yeah, I like, he's still in my circle. I still tell him I'm here to teach you because I treated him as my young brother like the whole time. But I said there's certain things and I would love for you to come back in future after you have all the maturity to come back, I think.
Right. Okay. No, I appreciate the detail in there and makes a lot of sense. And I want to come back to that failure piece and the perspective around it for sure. But there's another thing you mentioned in your story was a spiritual awakening. So, and then you kind of followed it up with healing. But nowadays, a lot of people are talking about spiritual awakenings, and that can mean different things for different people. Mm. From your perspective, what did that look like for you? And how does healing fit into the awakening?
Yeah, for me, it was like peeling all those traumas and all my mother wounds and father wounds. And father wounds would be like trying to find the validation from outside, like connecting my self-worth with everyone outside, like they validating, or especially from male energy in my life. Like from childhood, it was all my, whatever my dad says, I will do a thing. Then I went into my marriage with the same kind of mindset. If I please them, then I am good. If they're happy, then I am good. But not thinking about my own happiness. Right? I went into this whole people pleasing throughout my whole life. And of course, it comes from culture too. I saw my mom doing it, everyone around me doing it. They are like just living. It's like dead body living day to day, just pleasing, but not looking at their own happiness, their own soul essence, what they want. That was the father wound I lived through. And mother wound was like people pleasing and also giving my power away, right? So for me, spiritual awakening was like finding my power back and truly, truly understanding the role of masculine and feminine, yin and yang, right? Truly understanding, like I would be like, I'm not sure I can go in this tangent or not here, Furkan. For me, like I always feel my womb is impure because I also come from very like abuse, like sexual abuse in childhood. I had blocked her. I was living in nightmares. I could not sleep since my childhood. And I was always blocked. I always felt she was impure. And you and I know that it's a sacred portal for manifestation, right?
Yeah.
For women individually, or when we come into union with someone else, it's a sacred portal for us to manifest our dreams together and to create empires in the world, which is going to bring positivity and bring the positive energy in the world as a collective, right? So for me, like going from that understanding of like womb energy to be a lust or whatever it is, to truly understanding the essence, the sacred essence of that. And then also my self-worth, like which is my solar plexus, like getting my confidence back and finding that confidence from within, finding that self-worth from within and not from outside validation. Now, because of all of that, now I have boundaries.
Yes.
And we spoke about this when you came on my podcast. So everyone should listen to that too, Furkan, about the boundaries. But since I went through that, I have such a strong boundaries now. Like I could start seeing everyone's fake mask they wear. Like they say something, but there's something, I can totally see it now. I can read people like crazy now. It's like psychic abilities, some intuition abilities that has come up. But now I'm also very, now I'm not in that people-pleasing energy. So I'm able to cut off people, cut off energy, cut off environment where my peace is not honored and where I don't feel fully aligned. And also for me, that journey, Furkan, like before, like, of course, I will go to temple, I will go to church, I will go to mosque, like all these different places to worship, right? But now it's more of, now I truly feel connected to God because I truly feel connected to my guardian angels, ancestors, spiritual guides, divine goddesses. I pray daily. I feel like if I have a problem, I just talk to them and they find me a solution in different ways. Like it's, from outside, people might think I'm lonely right now. I'm alone. But I know, no, I have a whole people around, like a whole like spirit, energy, guardian angels. They are like walking hand in hand with me. Even before stepping into this meeting, I called all of them in. What is the message you want me to say in this? Like, I don't come to, before when I used to do podcasts, like anyone coming on my podcast, like we were talking about situation, pedestal, we put people on pedestal. Like I will have like CEO of like big companies like coming on my podcast and you might think, oh, fear, right? Oh my God, how am I going to interview them? But I don't look at it like that. I normally pray to my divine guidance, my guardian angels, my divine God goddesses, and ask them, what do you want us to bring out in this conversation? So I don't fear now. I live from love. I live from that alignment. And I live from that direction that I, like my intuition and my direction that I receive.
That's amazing. Yeah. Yeah. And along the lines of awakening, I don't know how comfortable you're sharing this, but, and with failure, you've gone through a divorce as well, right? Yeah. So you've stepped away from that. Feel free to share as much as you are comfortable sharing, but in our culture, I can speak to that. Mm-hmm. Sometimes divorce is looked upon, well, majority of the times it's looked upon as failure.
Yeah.
You shared earlier that that's not how you look at things. You look at it as redirection. How much of that has been your mindset around divorce, and why did you make that choice for yourself?
Yeah, divorce was part of that journey. Mm. When I started doing that spiritual awakening, truly understanding what I was going through, right? When you start going through it, you don't even know you're going through it. Someone has to tell going through it. And that was my mentor. But when I started going through that and truly understanding how I feel so disconnected and why I feel so disconnected, I could name it. Why I feel so disconnected. And I could also see the patterns that is repeating. And I could also see how much I was giving. But at the end, I was feeling exhausted. I was giving from empty, right? Yeah. So there was all this moment of realization when I started going through my spiritual awakening with my own self-worth, self-confidence, when I started putting boundaries, that it was not received positively. I was called selfish. I was called, when I told my dad about this decision, he said, no one will come to your funeral. You are like a curse to our religion. Those are strong words for Khan, right?
Yeah.
Like very strong words. Like when I at that moment, when I told my dad, I was expecting he will support me. But he has been like this my whole life, right? So I could see that pattern, like because of this understanding of what I was going through, I could totally see the pattern of how I was raised with masculine around me, the wounded masculine, who can't share their emotion, who can't express it. So they will use anger, or they will use, like, we had so many holes in our home with my divorce because he could not control anger. Like his anger, it was like never physical on me, my husband, but he was like, he will break the walls, like holes in the walls or holes in the doors. And my little one, she's 8 years old. For so long, I stayed in that marriage. And this is not only after spiritual awakening happened, that happened. I had been feeling disconnected since we started dating before our marriage too. I never felt like this union should happen. But of course, there's something, I don't know, he had a power with his language that he could always bring me back into it. No, this is great. This is good for us. But then there was no consistency. Like it was like when you need something, you will come to you. But there was like love should feel consistent. Loving someone should feel consistent. Giving someone should feel consistent. But I always felt like I was the one who was giving, waving, but never getting the, what you call, reciprocal of it. And I am an empath and I'm a giver by heart. I'm like that with everyone. Mm-hmm. I love to give. So it's not only through divorce. I think it's at work also. I had to put boundaries. But hopefully I explained to you there, Furkan. Yeah, divorce actually happened because I saw that things were inconsistent. I was emotionally draining. There was no intimacy physically, spiritually, mentally, emotionally. There was such a disconnection. And it's not that we had not tried. We had tried relationship coaching in previously, like all this year. You can't, and also I realized you can't change people. They have to change by themselves, right? Yes. And when that discussion started happening, when I felt disconnected, when my spiritual awakening started, he even told me I don't have any purpose in life. And for me, as someone who has such big dreams, right, I was trying to hold on to it as long as possible. So I hold on to it for 17 years, right? but I could not do it anymore, especially after spiritual awakening. I'm like, I cannot do it anymore because I have such a big purpose in this life. And I need someone who can hold me strong. I can't have a wounded masculine walking with me and pulling me down at every step. And I could not understand Furkan. I launched so many businesses, even with my ex, I launched a couple of businesses and they will never flourish after some time. Because his motivation was money and my motivation was always giving. So I could also see that misalignment.
Yes. Yeah.
So there was all these different pieces. Of course, divorce is never easy. It's very hard for both the both side. There are many different stories said. But I think during that whole process of divorce too, I had to stay in my power, which I will normally lose in front of them. Because I'm a giver and I will like just, okay, take what you want to take, right? But somehow the spiritual awakening strengthened me from inside, like this Shakti power. I was like, no, this is the end thing. And I'm at peace now. I was never at peace. I was always in chaos in that relationship. I always felt like there was drama. There was chaos. I was always unhappy. If you see my picture, like before that, before my divorce or separation happened, you will see I was 45 pounds more. And as soon as I left that relationship, I started taking care of myself, eating healthy, working out and truly loving myself. Like it's different kind of glow up that comes up. But like when people ask me how you have changed, I'm like, no, it's not changed because I'm so peaceful from within. It just shows up.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. There is a concept that people will say, you know, when we're not expressing ourselves or we're pushing things down, we tend to push our feelings down with food as well. Right. And you see that with a lot of people. But the other thing I'm hearing is you acknowledged, in your words, at least the father wound or the wounded masculine, and perhaps that was what was familiar in the marriage. And then when it started to unravel itself, it's one of those things you can't unsee it once you've seen it, right? So it sounds like there's a lot of that. So,
and also I think one thing I forgot to say here, which is very important for me.
Yes.
Because there was this hatred that has created from in within me for men, right? Because of the abuse I went through as a child, right? So there was this hatred in me, and which has I had not really worked on that trauma, right? So for me, spiritual awakening was also working on that, working on my womb energy, really seeing the sacred part of it and truly start loving the true, strong masculine and truly understanding the role masculine plays in feminine or a man plays in a woman. So for me also, that shift happened during these last 3 years. I truly love a strong masculine. And you will see, like when I interviewed you, Furkan, I was so happy to talk to you because you brought those pieces of you. Everyone should listen to that podcast when it is published. But yeah, for me also, truly understanding the role of masculine and a strong masculine and strong feminine role to come together in union and creating that loving, harmonious relationship, like also how they both are supposed to come together to create the empires, create the positive energy in the world.
Yes.
So yeah, that was also a big part of it for me.
Okay. Yeah. I appreciate the additional context for sure. So maybe switching gears somewhat here, you talked about the healing center you're a part of and your initiative around synergy. Are you able to share a bit more of what this entails and how is it allowing you to live your purpose?
Yeah, so synergy is, so I have worked as chief operating officer, director of operation for small businesses to help them scale and grow. And that was very much one-on-one work for Khan. And I was like, okay, I cannot be doing this because I want to scale it. I want to impact more entrepreneurs who are heart-centered and soul-led. So that's when Synergy came in. It was on my vision board in 2021 and I launched it in 2024 and I did not have to do anything effortlessly. My whole team together came in. Like I did not even have to chase. I attracted all the people and every team member in my team is spiritually aligned. And what Synergy is, it's we help with everything in marketing operations. Like it's like an agency to help to bring your gift into the world. And we help you, we partner with you to be that backend support. So we help you with everything from marketing, everything from operations, admin, creating your website and tech and everything. So the most important shift in Synergy, that the way it is put together, it's like strategy with soul, because we truly feel that we can only build, we can only expand our gifts if we are truly living in purpose and living in alignment. Mm-hmm. So that's what this partnership looks like with entrepreneurs. We help you to help and scale your growth, scale your business in more mm-hmm. alignment to your purpose. Mm-hmm. With Crystal Cove Boutique, which is a healing center in Cannon Beach in Oregon, the main purpose of opening this place was to create a space where souls could come in and they find a place to like, where they could find like-minded people around them. But in here, we help others to find their life purpose, connect to their soul blueprint, soul mission, like connect with their ancestors, connect with their guardian angels, and really tuning into your life purpose like that. So
yeah
so that's so. Like they both integrate in a way.
Yes,
but it's a beautiful symphony that is happening here. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, that sounds very cool. Well, thank you so much, Priyanka, for this conversation. I think we can keep talking and learn more, but maybe that means more conversations in the future. But for listeners that want to learn more about the work you're doing, including your podcast, which, mm-hmm. as we've already touched on, I've had the honor and privilege to be on, how can mm-hmm. people find all of these things and find you, especially mm-hmm. if there's some interest in working with you? What are some ways people can do that?
Yeah, so of course, I have some gifts for you.
Okay.
If you are an entrepreneur or someone who is just starting out, want to create something of your own, I have a quiz. It's just a 3 minutes quiz. It actually helps you to figure out where you are and what is the next step for you, right? Okay. What do you need to have in place to bring your gifts out in the world and expand it and create more impact? And another gift I have for you, it's a automate and delegate playbook. And you can find it at getyoursop.com. You can just type in and get that. And what it does for you, you can use it for life or your business. You sit with that workbook. It's a workbook. And I actually sell it on Etsy, but I give it for free when I go on podcast. What you do is it helps you to find what are the things that drains you, right? That you can delegate, right? Because my team normally will work on those delegation piece. But now if it is at home, maybe you don't want to do cleaning. You can delegate it to a maid, right? So thinking like that. So it will help you to audit your life to see what are the things you can delegate, what are the repeat things you can automate, like automating some of your sales process, right? Or automating your credit card payment, right? If we have to think about life. And the last piece is, what are the pieces you can delete it, right? And what are the pieces that you have to work on, which aligns with your zone of genius, right? So expand you. So that's the two thing. Now, I can help you once you get those quiz done, it will actually tell you the support you can get from us. So that will be your easiest way to know how I can support you. We have different packages for different stages you are in your business. Yes. Where you can find me on LinkedIn. You can find me on Facebook, Priyanka Khandalkar. And Furkan, you will be putting all of that in show notes, right?
Of course. So, yes, absolutely.
So click on the link on the show notes.
Awesome. Well, thank you again for this conversation. Really appreciate your time and your vulnerability today.
Thanks. Thanks, Furkan. Thanks, everyone. Have a good day.
Thank you for checking out this episode with Priyanka. As always, please subscribe to the podcast on Apple, Spotify, or YouTube. That's the best and easiest way to support this podcast. And on Apple and Spotify, you can leave up to a 5-star review. Please check out the sponsors in the description, as well as the Easy Reflections newsletter, a zero-cost newsletter that goes out weekly, where I explore different mental health topics and provide practical tips and insights for the reader to implement. You can find the link to the newsletter in the show note captions, where you can subscribe directly. Thank you again, and until next time.